And we're joined by Deidre Cornell, who is with the Rural Migrant Ministries. And last year, as people probably know, that after decades of efforts, farm workers were granted basic labor rights in New York State. One of the, I guess, controversial issues was the right to receive overtime, which initially has been set at 60 hours per week before overtime kicks in. But a labor board was set up, I guess, with three people to examine this issue and make a recommendation. So Deidre, let's just start. How has the implementation of the Farm Worker, you know, Bill of Rights, labor rights, been doing?
Hi, Mark. Thank you so much for having me today. And that's a great question. As you mentioned, this is legislation that has been long in coming. And as some of your listeners probably know, farm worker related legislation at this point is largely set, determined by state on a statewide basis. And so New York State actually did some very courageous work in terms of putting together a good bill. You know, we're very happy, advocates are happy with the protections that are being implemented, and it's brand new. It's brand new. So I think that we have to be, you know, somewhat aware of that, that as something is being instituted, which is completely a new process, I think that it's bound that there are going to be some things that have to be worked out along the way. In terms of the overtime, what you mentioned is absolutely right. As it stands, the overtime threshold is right now at 60 hours. But what's interesting about all of this is that also, you know, the farm worker legislation was passed only recently, you know, within a very short time. And it took effect really, Mark, on January 1st of 2020. So it's brand new legislation. And of course, we got hit right away with the pandemic, with the coronavirus. So it's an interesting time, if we can put it in those terms. But it is a time in which we're looking very seriously at, you know, what is the situation? What is the situation of farms and of farmers and of farm workers? You know, what is happening in our state? And so that really is the panorama that the wage board, I believe, is approaching this matter with. Of course, in my organization, we have our definite, you know, stance. But the wage board has been open to hearing many different views. It's a very interesting process. It's a process in which there are different different viewpoints expressed. And so that's all part of that process that we're talking about this new happening, which is farm worker legislation protections for farm workers in the context that we're in.
Well, you know, in any industry, you know, what you tend to get played out, you know, in the media and the fight between the workers and the owners is, well, you know, we're already paying them too high a wage and, you know, we have a very short profit margin. And if we increase the wages, especially overtime, it's just going to put out for business. And this has particularly been always the argument with especially farm workers. But in terms of the overall cost of what we pay, say, for, you know, a pepper or a tomato in the supermarket, how much of that actually is percentage-wise? Do you have any idea ends up, you know, going into the pockets of the person actually picking the...
Right. Well, I mean, there are some statistics out there about how much the growers and then by extension, then the workers do get for that produce. And I mean, I think we're becoming more and more aware, you know, with the pandemic. It's interesting because I think there was a certain awakening to our essential workers. I think that something that I saw as a positive in this pandemic was that we started opening our eyes to some of the work that gets done by people who are low-income people, often people of color, home health aides and delivery workers, and people who aren't often taken into consideration. And among them, of course, are farm workers who work so hard to provide for us. And so there are a lot of issues there, Mark, about New York and the economics of agriculture. Our concern, you know, in our organization has historically been for farm workers, not to say that farmers are not challenged, because definitely that comes through at the wage board hearings, that does come through. But the position that we're taking is that we really do want to see that the workers' situation is also taken into consideration. I found it really fascinating because there were a few farmers who talked about different ways that they are looking at trying to approach some of these issues. It's a very challenging time. You know, I'm not going to say that it's not. But I would hope that as the implementation of the legislation goes on, and as we hopefully come through the pandemic, that we would be able to look at different ways to structure work protocols and different measures that would be favorable, again, to the farms, the farmers, and especially to the farm workers, so that they don't get left out in this process.
Now, of course, you know, the failure of basic labor laws to include initially both farm workers, but also, say, like housekeepers, is clearly a legacy of racism in the country, since, as you mentioned, you know, most farm workers are people of color. Have, you know, sort of like, you know, the Black Lives Movement activists, you know, joined in the effort to, you know, promote, you know, Farm Worker Bill of Rights, since this is clearly such an issue of racial justice?
Yeah, I think there are some real connections there. I agree. I mean, I think that we really do see that farm workers are people of color more often than not. And it also touches on immigration issues and, you know, the fact that our immigration system is so broken in the United States. So I think that you're absolutely right. I think that it does point to some systemic issues, some issues that have been really present for centuries, really. I mean, if you look at agricultural work and how a generation ago it was mostly American Blacks who were migrating to do a lot of the harvesting, and then the Bracero movement of Mexican workers who came seasonally. And so, yes, there's definitely a residue. There's a definite inherent systemic racism that is still at play.
So, Deidre, we only have about 90 seconds left. We've been talking with Deidre Cornell, Rural Migrant Ministries. This is Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. So I'll end up with two parts. So this is a board, I understand, is making a recommendation to the governor legislature. Can you quickly outline what the process is after they make it? And then second, if people want to either impact upon what the board and the legislature is doing, how can they find out more information?
Okay. Well, they can go straight to the wage board website, because there is a process there where the wage board is gathering this kind of information. They can also look at our website, which is ruralmigrantministry.org. Our phone number is 845-485-8627. That's our office phone number. And people can inform themselves and become educated. There will be one more wage board hearing at the end of September. So looking it up on the New York State website, you can feel free to pursue that information.
And what does the legislature do once the report comes out?
Yes, they will be making a recommendation to the governor whether to maintain the 60-hour threshold or to lower it. So this is regarding overtime for farm laborers.
Okay. Well, Deidre Cornell, thank you for joining us, and please keep us informed of developments as they go along.
Thank you so much, Mark. Have a great